I'm Jason Waller here with Jason Waller Unleashed, and I have got a treat for you. You believe in aliens? Oh, shit. You better believe in aliens. That's Zog right there coming to you fully fleshed. We've got Zog. We've got Zara back here. The green, the gray. We are here to talk about aliens. I fucking love aliens. Top 10 podcast right here talking about aliens, talking about business, talking about politics, talking about fucking COVID or whatever. Is it not COVID or flu C or whatever you want to call it? Talking about bullshit vaccines. Talking about, are you voting for Trump? Are you voting for fucking old man Joe? What are you going to do? Talking about sex, marriage. Talking about the reality TV show Bam Fam. You name it, we've got it. We are talking about it. Super excited. Got some big guests coming on soon. I've had each one of my family members except my son on the show. If you've seen the episodes, you can definitely see. My wife calls me a see you next Tuesday. You can put the letters together and figure out what that is. One of my daughters talks about her literally shitting, taking a shit, true story, slid right down her leg at the mall in a parking lot on the sidewalk. Another daughter talks about how she was poisoned by fentanyl and stopped breathing, which is fucking an emotional thing, which has given her major trauma, and the shit bags that were part of that in local North Carolina. And then my other daughter talks about narcissism and mental health and all of this other shit that's really over my head because she's super smart and I'm not as smart as she is. Waiting on my son. He's supposed to come in Monday. We're going to do a show together, but we need another episode. The vault is almost empty. Yes, I've got the blonde hair back. That is right. We have dyed the hair blonde. Guess who's back? Back again. J-Dub, Mr. Bam, is back again. I've been waiting to do it for a while. Had to let my hair kind of breathe for the last 14 months, kind of going through a transition. And no, I'm not going to be a chick with a dick. I'm not talking about that kind of transition. I'm talking about a transition of literally finding my identity again, figuring out things and going back to my roots, which is the blonde hair, which I love. So, show we're going to start. We're going to talk about a few things that are dear and important to me and important to hopefully you guys in life. We just finished a great fucking new year. Michigan Wolverines beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. They rolled the tide. And that was great for me because I love Alabama, but I love Michigan. So I pay, unfortunately, tuition at Alabama because my daughter goes there. So I'm always pulling for fucking Roll Tide, except when they go against Go Blue. So that was tough. I had to make some beat Bama chili. My daughter was my enemy for the day. And then my wife sided with her, and my other daughter sided with her, and my granddaughter sided with her, and my grandson. Like, everyone was wearing Roll Tide. And only me and London and Christian were Go Blue. But it was great. So the family was split. Michigan ended up winning. It was fantastic. So one of the things I want to talk about I have got on here that is very important to me is closure, right? People in relationships, people in business, people with friendships and marriage and dating, you struggle when you have one of these relationships having problems and you don't get closure. And closure is key because otherwise you're wondering like about this alien, you know, what's going on? Is it real? Like, these things just bother you. You get in your own head. You go down these rabbit holes. You're asking all these what if questions and how and why and all these things that you want answers to. And the truth is you don't need it. You know, if somebody doesn't do it for you, they don't do it for you. You've got to be able to be strong enough to make that decision in life. You've got to be able to be strong enough to not get in your own head and give them free rent in your head to think or worry about them if they're not thinking or worrying about you. And I'm not saying be prideful. I'm not saying put pride in front of everything. And hello from Texas. What up, Texas? I am saying that we are all guilty of this. You know what? They don't want to fucking call me. Fuck them. I ain't going to call them then. That is the wrong approach. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, look, if the relationship is toxic, if the partnership is toxic, if the marriage is toxic, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because I'm to a point, I don't have a lot of friends. I just don't. I mean, I wish I had more friends. Everybody wants to have more friends. Everybody wants to be liked and everybody wants more friends. I don't have a lot of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances. I have a lot of people that want to hang out and be around when things are rolling or if I'm paying for things or we're part, like, but I don't have a lot of friends, right? I get a lot of happy birthday on your birthday on Facebook, but I don't have a lot of real friends. And that's sad. I mean, I don't like that. I mean, I drive out of my driveway today and I'm like, fuck, you know, I really don't have a lot of friends. I have a couple of friends, but that's okay. Does that make my life bad? No. Does it make it sad? Maybe, but I choose not to be sad. I choose to accept that, you know, having one or two good friends is better than having 50 acquaintances that you think are your friends that are fake. I watch too many times. I see it happen with my wife. I see it happen with my daughters. It happens more with females than men. And this isn't me being sexist, but women are way more emotional. And when women are more emotional, relationships mean a hell of a lot more to them than they do to men. Now, I'm not saying that their relationships are more important. What I'm saying is, yes, life is full of a lot of disappointments, unfortunately, King. What I'm saying is what's really frustrating is for women is they get stuck in their feelings and they hold a grudge, right? And not all, but most. They hold a grudge and they're very emotional beings. They're not, you know, men are pretty easy. Feed me, fuck me, tell me a great story, tell me I'm the man, I'm ready to roll. Let's bounce, right? Men, like, feed me, fuck me, tell me a great story, tell me I'm the man, send me on my way. Like, that's a man, right? He's simple. Okay. Women are very emotional. It is like, you didn't do this. You didn't say this. You looked at me this way. You ignored me here. You didn't respond fast enough here. You wrote, like, it is a lot. Now, I have three daughters and a wife and then one son. I have a granddaughter and a grandson. We're outnumbered. We play zone at home every single day. I will tell you, it is like fucking juggling baseballs in the air when you're trying to deal with the emotions of a bunch of females. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm saying that it hurts my feelings because, like, for my wife, she's got acquaintances she's considered her friends, but then she's really not their friends because only when is it convenient is this friend very friendly or reaches out and wants to do things. But then when it's not convenient, she doesn't reach out. She's kind of bipolar and has her own shit going on. And what does that do? My wife's kind of like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, I'm always putting an effort. Why am I trying all the time? I'm like, well, it's not about who tries. Sometimes there's a giver. Sometimes there's a taker. Every relationship is completely different. And she says, well, I disagree with you. I think that, you know, relationships should be completely equal. Well, they're never going to be completely equal. So that's something we go back and forth on. But she is bothered because sometimes these alleged friends that are, I believe, are just acquaintances or friends that are just there for convenience. You know, when things are rough for you, here's how I judge a friend or a great relationship. When things are really bad, how do they respond to you? Now, that can go two ways. When I lost my company and I was going through all this hate stuff in the media, and I was battling through depression and confusion and resentment and anger and not like just, it was a fucking shit show. Some of my true friends, I believe, were like, he's in it right now. I'm not going to bother him. Right? I get that. Cause I could be that way. Like, I am that way sometimes. That doesn't make me a bad friend. I'm like, I'm not going to jump in the middle of their shit. I feel bad. And then some were like, dude, is there anything I can do? Are you okay? Like, how are you? Are you okay? And that meant the world to me when I was going through that. And I'm a man. Like, I'm not, I mean, my wife will talk shit. My girls will talk shit and say, you're a little frou-frou dad. And Jason, you're a little this and you're a little that. And, you know, whatever. Like, yeah. So I'm metro. I like girly shit. That's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to feelings, I'm pretty macho on my feelings, you know, in most part. But when it comes to losing all that stuff and having your family be threatened, all these things going on, you figure out real fast who your real friends are. And so for, like, my wife and my daughters right now, like, their friends, who are they? Who are their real friends? You know, people that when you're sick, my wife got diagnosed with melanoma, right? She had to get skin cancer. She had to get some of it removed. Who's her real friends? Like, who reaches out to her? What can I do for you? Are you scared? What's going on? Those were her real friends. Now, she was like, well, some friends didn't even check on me. Well, maybe they're like me and they don't want to get involved and make you feel worse. I don't know. Like, I try to find excuses. But the bottom line is like, you should know what your friend needs if you're a friend, right? And you should know how you're supposed to react to them. For like my son, if he's going through something, he doesn't want to talk about it. But for my daughters, they want to talk about it. And they don't want a solution. See, the problem with me as a dad is I'm solution-based. It's just in my nature. I'm a business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. I am all solution-based. I am, okay, here's the problem. How do we fix it? I am not comfort-based. Comfort-based means somebody comes in with a problem. They're complaining. Things are going wrong. They're upset. They want to vent. They want your support. They want your empathy. They want your sympathy. They want you to say all the things. I suck at that. I'm trying so hard to get better. I pray to God to get better. I work on it. I just fucking suck at that. I'm horrible at it. I wish I wasn't, but I am, and it's horrible. My wife is awesome at that, but she sucks at solutions. She's like the complete opposite of me. Her solutions, her answers are fucking bullshit, but her comforting, her support, her empathy, her sympathy is fucking top notch. That's why we're married. That's why we raise kids together. Like, it's a perfect yin and yang. It's hard, though, as a dad of daughters. Some dads out there are tough like me. Like, all right, come on, shake it off. You're okay, Kinsey. Come on, Hannah, write that. London, you'll be fine. Let's go. Some of you are like me. And then some of you are very supportive and kind and comforting. And I admire those that are the second, that are more supportive and kind and comforting and not solution-based, because that's what girls need as a dad. That's what I've failed to really provide, that I've got to do better on. And I am trying. My girls know I'm trying, and I'm trying. And I bring all this up because I know we're going to talk about closure. You know, the show, we're going to talk about closure, and we're going to talk about loyalty. You know, when my wife thinks she has these friends and she thinks that they're close and they're best friends and everything is what it's supposed to be, it's really not that case. It's really acquaintances that it's convenient to be friends. And that's why I think if you've got a relationship with somebody, and I think that if you're building something with somebody and you think that they're your really good friend or your best friend and they're more than an acquaintance, then you should know what they need when they're in need. Right. If somebody gets diagnosed with cancer or somebody gets really sick or somebody loses a pet, something, right? You should be able to know what to do and reach out if you really know that person. So I'm tired of like having three daughters and a wife and then a son and you know, whatever, mostly females in my house. They get really emotional, like, oh my God, this girl didn't do this, or, you know, my friend didn't do that, and this person's not even reaching out, and they're not doing, like, it's so many emotions. It's so many times going down the rabbit hole of trying to pinpoint and figure out, is that person really my friend? Is that person not my friend? Is that person mad at me? It's a lot. It's exhausting. I feel bad. And so my advice to everybody out there, but mostly the ladies out there, is look, it's about loyalty, all right? It's about when shit hits the fan, is that person got your back? When you fall apart, does that person reach out? And if that person doesn't reach out, or you're the one always making the effort in the relationship, you're like, this is bullshit. I'm the one booking the plans, or I'm the one doing this, or I'm the one doing that. Like, that's what my wife says all the time with certain people, or that's what my daughters say sometimes with certain people. I say, look, sometimes there's more takers than givers, and there's more givers than takers. That's how relationships work. It's not fucking 50-50. It's just not how it happens. But they go through this process of where they truly believe they're putting in more than another friend. They get bothered about it. And look, from the outside looking in, I could see a lot of what they're saying is true. Like, I'm like, well, how many times do your friends invite you to their house? Never. And you invite them all the time. They show up sometimes. Okay. Like, you go down the list. I say this from experience. With everything I went through, I found out who my real friends were. And some people I would even consider my best friends really weren't my best friends. They were just like my working partners, because I wasn't invited to like personal things. And I was kind of left out on like a 40th birthday party for one of my partners. Like a lot of things like that, that when you see that, when you live through that, you know, the realization of who is really your friend is kicks in. And what sucks for me is most of the people that I hang out with or I've been friends with, not all, but most, have worked for me or work for me, right? So there's a different dynamic in a relationship. There's more of a loyalty there. But there's not a lot of like on a personal level, hey, what are you doing? I get that from some of my friends. But I mean, I sat there, I told you, I pulled out of my driveway earlier today. It's like, I don't have a lot of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances. I have a lot of followers. I have a lot of acquaintances. What up, my ninja? How about that? But I don't have a lot of like close friends. I just don't. I mean, I hate that, but I don't. Like if I've got a problem, you know, I don't have a lot of people. I've got less than people on one hand that I can call. I don't know if that makes me the norm, the abnorm. I really don't give a shit either what it makes me. I know that it's unfortunate. I'd like to have some more closer friends. I'd like to be closer to certain people. And sometimes I put effort in and sometimes I don't put in the effort. So sometimes it's on me. And I think that when you realize that not everything is you, and I mean, not everything's somebody else, but sometimes it's you, you're able to fix and mend a lot of those relationships. And I think that, I think part of that is understanding what you're looking for in a relationship, right? In a friendship, in a business, in a marriage, in dating someone, whatever the relationship is you're going to have with somebody, you need to make sure that you are 1,000%, it's not toxic. I mean, because dude, how many times, like, fuck, like, I love my wife, but we've been through bumps to where sometimes our marriage has been complete toxic, dude. And it's taken like some big breaks to try to clear that up. And so, you know, when you're going through that, sometimes you got to know when to just say enough's enough. And, you know, it's been that way with friends of mine, like relationships where people I thought were my friends and then weren't. And then when I needed them or something happened, they were, you know, they were gone or it wasn't convenient or I wasn't picking up the tab. I mean, dude, how many times, I mean, anybody that's an influencer out there, it's made a lot of money, that's hit some fame. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not at that next level of some big celebrity, but I'm here to tell you that, you know, when I hung out with people, like, you know, I was expected most of the time to pick up the tab and I was expected, you know, to be the whole, you know, energy of the show. And the problem with that is it's a lot that's put on you. And then, you know, you're not treated equally. Some of my best friends never worked for me. And here's why. Like, I think a couple of my best friends out there, and I'm not knocking those that are considered my best friends that do work for me, but it's kind of hard because we don't do stuff personally. So we can say we're work best friends, but we don't do a lot of stuff personally. Either the wives don't get along or, you know, the kids don't get along or, you know, we just don't do a lot of things personally. Like you got your thing, I got my thing. It's just, and that's okay. That's okay. But, you know, when you look at life, it's so short. It's like, is this how I want to spend it? Like, I meet some new guys. I'm playing poker sometimes, right? And I'm meeting these new guys. I'm like, dude, I'd really hang out with that guy. And I tell my wife, like, I meet a couple of people I'd hang out with. She's like, oh, you're like a kid. I'm like, well, I don't have a lot of friends. So when I meet people that I like talking to and that I have synergy with, right? And if you don't know what synergy is, it's synergy is saying, hey, me and you have a lot of like energy that can elevate each other or utilize together, right? And do good things. And so I think that part of, you know, finding a good friendship is having a lot of synergy. But some of the people that I consider my closest friends, like I said, I don't have a lot of them. The better ones usually haven't worked for me because it's just different. It taints the relationship. And I told you, I've seen a lot of that the last 14 months of who's really a friend and who was just a work friend or a great, you know, work partner and, but not a good friend. And that sucks. And it hurts. It sucks if you're out there and you're like, dude, I really, you know, I don't have a lot of friends. Right. I mean, it's not going to end my day. You know, I've got my family, which is most important to me. And then I've got, you know, the couple friends that are probably less than one hand, definitely less than one hand. And then I've got a shit ton of acquaintances and I care about those acquaintances and I think they care about me and it's a check-in. How are you? Et cetera, et cetera. Things are great, but they're not on top of mind and friends are on top of mind. And so when you have a good friend, they're at the top of your mind. And so I know I've been, and I can handle saying this because I'm vulnerable and I'm real. I've been in relationships with people that I thought was like my best friends, right? Where I feel like I would do anything for, and they're on top of mind. but is the opposite. And I realize that when they don't work with me, oh, I'm not on the top of their mind, and they wouldn't do the same that I would have done for them. And that is fucking shocking. That is like, oh, wow. And it, like, you have people around you like, you know, that person's really not your friend. Yeah, they are. No, they're not. What the fuck do they do for you personally? And it's an eye-opening experience. Like, holy shit, you're right. And you still don't believe it. Like, for me, I'm like, oh, it's bullshit. Oh, they got this going on. There's reasons. No, it's true. But then I see my wife going through the similar shit with some of her friends that are acquaintances or good friends, but they're not her best friends. She's not on top of fucking mind. They reach out when it's convenient or when they need something. And it's like, you get to a point in life where you're like, enough's enough. And so my wife gets upset. She's like, I'm putting all this energy. I'm not putting the energy into these other people no more. I think that's the wrong answer. I think that if you understand who each and every person is and what to expect out of that relationship, then you can't be let down. You just can't be. Am I right, Zara? You just can't be fucking let down. Zara's been talking about this and preaching this on her planet. She says all, well, I can't say she because she identifies as an alien. Zara says all the time that everything's got to be good energy and it's not tit for tat, right? And so I believe, yes, I've lost my mind. I talk to aliens. I believe that as long as you know who and what everyone is and you set your expectations reasonable to that, when you're not disappointed, you can't be upset. It's just, I had higher hopes. I'm very naive and I'm very optimistic and I believe in the good of people. And so I think certain things of people and then I'm like, oh man, I just shit the bed on this one. This fucking guy and me are not the same. Like I would have done this, this, and this, and this motherfucker doesn't do. Wow. That's shocking. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that, listen, life is a journey. Life is a battle. Life is an experience and a dream. And in that journey, that battle, that experience and that dream, I want motherfucking soldiers with me. I want friends that are going to have my motherfucking back, that are going to defend me to the fucking depths of the earth, that when I need something, they're not fucking sitting quiet, holding their ass, being scared to check in with me. They're like, dude, how are you? And what the fuck do you need? And I want to fucking reciprocate that same energy, that same experience, that same everything back to them. Because the problem is you get these fake fucking people that, like I said, like we were always expected to pick up the tab and be the center of the energy and all these things. And, you know, we're not doing that no more. They kind of have their own little lives. So they want to matter to other people. And it's just weird. So when people are coming around and they're showing an effort, my wife has a friend that lives down the street from her. And I love these people are great. And it's Leanne and Joe. So shout out to Leanne and Joe. And the entire time my wife was going through her cancer, right? And melanoma and a stage one, she got removed, but she's freaked out. My wife, for those that know my wife, she's got major anxiety. Like, I mean, major, major anxiety, like the world's ending anxiety as far as it goes. So this, a doctor telling her she had cancer, fucking took her over the edge. Like there ain't enough medicine in the world to bring her back to reality. And I feel bad for her because I love her to death and I feel bad. She has to fight this battle every day of all things. I mean, she probably sees two or three doctors a fucking week since this has happened, checking everything. She's been to the skin doctor to get skin checked four times since this happened. And I'm not exaggerating. But she has a friend that's just like her down the street that texts her every day to check in on her. And they both go through similar shit. That is a real friend, right? That's a real friend. Because everybody in this world wants to be accepted. Everybody in this world wants to have friendship. Everybody in this world wants to know people are loyal to them. And when it ends, everybody in this world wants closure. But the problem is a lot of people in this world put their pride in the spot. There's never closure. It's a fucking, and this ain't against Mexicans. Mexicans are my favorite people in the world, but it's a Mexican standoff of who the fuck's going to act first. It's fucked up. And that's what we do with our own friends. We do it in our marriage. We do it with everything and everybody. And so one thing that I'm trying to push myself to do is to not put my pride in front of things. And you'll see as my show comes out, I'm very vulnerable and honest. I talk about how I've lost everything. I've talked about how I've mortgaged my house. I've sold cars. I'm not making money. I'm having to build a business again. I'm having to start over. I talk about these things because that's real, right? I'm not going to pretend pretend to be something I'm not. I went through a phase of that early, right? When I lost everything, it was like telling myself, no, I've got this. And it was an identity issue. It was a frustration issue. It was a, fuck, how do I deal with this issue? Where do I belong now? What do I do next? What happens? Like, it's hard. Like, think about the football player that, think about the football player that's played his whole life and then all of a sudden retires and doesn't know who the fuck they are. That's kind of how the feeling was for me. I say that because I've got football friends. Like, it's very similar to that. I'm not a football player, but I'm saying, like, you're used to doing this and then you have nothing, you're starting over. And people think less of you because of fake information, because of something out of your control. That's a tough hole to climb out of. Still climbing out, by the way. But it's hard. And so when I was backing out of the car today, I was telling myself, I was like, man, it sucks that I don't have a lot of friends. Kind of sucks. And I ain't looking for friends. So I don't want y'all fucking hit me up or DMing me being like, or messaging me, you listen to the podcast. I got the podcast recording. I got Instagram live here. I got the podcast recording here. And the episode comes out next Tuesday or Thursday. I don't want to be like, hey, I want to be your friend. Like, that's not what I'm asking. That's not what the fuck I'm doing. What I'm saying is I lack those real friendships. I only have a couple of them. I give my credit to my dude Dino in Michigan. I consider him a real friend, although when things ended, it got sour because he was owed money from an old company and that kind of put a hinder in the relationship. But he was still checking on me the first 90 days. Are you okay, bro? What can I do for you? Like, that's a real friend. Like, that's a real friend. That's important to have a couple real friends. But it sucks when you don't have a lot, when you only got one or two, right? I've got a couple, you know, I've got people that call and check in on me, but I want to be a better friend. It's a new year and everyone talks about New Year's resolutions, right? It shouldn't be, all right, I'm waiting until 2024, let's go. I always say this, it shouldn't be one day, it should be day one. So whether today's January 8th, January 3rd, January 1st, January 15th, whatever the fuck day it is, you make it day one, not one day to make the changes. And one of the things that you need to change it is to make yourself more available to those that you care about, more concerned and involved for those that you love. Because I know that's what I'm working on, and I know everybody can work on that a little bit. Not everybody's perfect, and nobody's, and I say, like, where I'm this hard ass, you know, to my kids and my daughters, and I got to be better. You know, like, hey, shake it off. You're good. My wife is so much empathy and sympathy, and I've got you, da, da, da. But I'm solution-based. I have the answers. Let's go. This is how you get there. Let's go. She's more like, you know, you can complain to me. You can, I'll comfort you. You can tell me all these things. She's there for all of that, right? So I think if you stand on one side of the fence of your too hardcore like me, then you've got to soften up. And if you stand on the other side of the fence where you're just too comforting, then you've got to harden up. Because there is a middle. And some of you might be in that middle, and God bless you. I'm not in that middle. I am on one side. My wife's on the other. And we're both trying to find the middle. You know, we're dealing with it right now. Like, you know, my son, you know, going through some things with school and isn't a big fan of, you know, the reality show coming out. He's very upset about it. And it's a battle at home that we're having to deal with. And, you know, that fucking ship sailed. There's nothing you can do. But you deal with it. You deal with it because when things come up, you don't set them to the side, especially when it's your family. When things come up, you deal with them immediately. And so those are the things coming up. He's upset. Oh, Dad, we got the show coming out. I don't like it. Like, how do you handle that? Well, Happy New Year, Brian. Appreciate it. You handle it. I've got the podcast I'm recording here and then doing a live. You handle it by addressing it and doing the best you can and explaining to your kids. And I've explained, like, listen, son, but there's nothing you can do. Like, the show's coming out. There's nothing we can do. But what we can do is embrace it. And what we can do is get in front of it and be proactive about it and laugh about it and don't hide from it and don't be embarrassed of it and own it. And I think when you do those things in life, when you own your problems or you own your wins and you own your losses and you own your struggles and you own, you know, your fears and you own your anxiety and you own your success and you own your talents, and you're able to own things and get in front of them, I think things are a lot easier than try to hiding from things, whether you're winning or losing. When you're trying to go below the radar, I don't think that's the route to take. It's just my opinion. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about aliens. This right here is Zara, and over there you can't see is Zog. Now, I have this belief in aliens is probably going to blow your mind, okay? My belief is this, and I got it from Dolores Cannon. So for those watching, Google Dolores Cannon and check this out. Now, she is an older lady who passed, and she would hypnotize people. Right? And when she would hypnotize people, she would talk to their previous lives. Now, that's where it got funny and funky for me, because I have always been a Christian. Well, I'm a born-again Christian, and my family's been baptized, and we went to a non-denominational church and a Baptist church. My wife grew up Catholic. I believe in God, and I believe in aliens, and I'm about to cross them for you right now. But, thanks, Tish, she loves Dolores. But one thing that I have always struggled with, and I am not here to preach about God, I'm not here to preach about religion, I'm not here to tell you, you're right, I'm wrong, all of that. But I'm here to just state what I'm allowed to believe what I want to believe. And I have struggled with, there's so many versions of the book. When we were looking to join a Christian family, we looked at LDS. LSD. We looked at LDS. We looked at Catholic. We looked at Baptist. We looked at Protestant. We looked at all of these, right? And I actually really liked the Mormon church. Like, I was like, dude, that's what I wanted. I like them. They're like, got it together. My wife's like, no. And I was all into it until they had this other book. And I'm like, okay. I can't wrap my head around that. That doesn't work for me, right? So we ended up going to a Baptist church, getting baptized. And then we ended up evolving to a non-denominational church out to Stephen Furtick and Elevation. That's the church we listen to. But I pray every day, pray mostly, should have tried the LSD, you damn right. by myself or with my son. But I believe in God, right? And I believe I'm a good dude, and I believe my family's good people, and we've been baptized, okay? That's where it stands. So this Dolores Cannon lady, I'm into aliens, right? I'm digging it. Alien stuff's coming out. I'm like, all right. Let me watch this. So I watch this, and she has this theory where she talks to these people's previous lives. And they are all angels of gods, also known as aliens, extraterrestrials, coming from out of this world, down in here to plant the seeds of life back when this planet started, right? And that there is still a God, okay? There's just one God. It's out of this universe. And that these aliens / angels or souls or beings that belong into the group or heaven and that came down to Earth, and they come down to many planets and have planted seeds of life. And in that life is everything, dinosaurs, trees, people, everything. But people is the whole deal. And in this planet, this was one of their planets that were free will. Some planets are not free will. This is her belief, just so everyone knows, so you don't freak out, although I believe a lot of this now. And she mentions, if you look up bacteria, right? So they created this planet, and it was supposed to be this beautiful, glorious free will planet. An asteroid hit this planet and created bacteria. So when you look up bacteria, when the scientists look it up, it is the only known object that is out of this world, meaning it didn't come from here, okay? Came from somewhere else, bacteria. So it came from the meteorite, right? So she mentions that she's talking to different people, and they're talking about how they came down and they did this. And she says they talk about, you know, what they all talk about when they're up in their space, and then they come down and they do these planets. And so she's getting real deep, and you're like, holy smokes. Here's where it sold me. The Aztecs, the Mayans, the Egyptians, and any other fucking time that any of these fucking civilizations had something, they all had one thing in common. They all had something that came down from the sky, some being, some person that they prayed to and that had special powers. Every fucking one of them, every one of them, including when Jesus came down. Think about this. The Aztecs, the Mayans, the Egyptians. They all are praying to this god or being that came down from out of this universe. How the hell do we have these fucking pyramids? How did we build these structures? How do we have this technology that was just, it's just unreal, right? That's my belief. Now, she explains that aliens are among us, or angels are among us in human form down here. Just like when these people came down, they couldn't mess with free will. But what they could do is give guidance. And so they would show them technology and show them things in different periods and civilizations of life when they would come down. And for them to travel to come here is like a day. For us, it's millions of years. And on a whole nother twist, I have this weird feeling that that is us in the future, and it's actually time travel as well. I know that's crazy and that's a lot to unpack, right? So where do we start, right? But think about this. Why did each one of these civilizations have somebody to pray to? Some kind of god or being or special thing that had all this energy, all this power that other people didn't have. Why? Why? Who are the Aztecs praying to? What about the Mayans? Chinese, the Mongolians? What about the Egyptians? Praying something came down. Could it be that is an alien or an extraterrestrial? Not an alien like my friend Zara here. Not that. This isn't what we're talking about, right? Came down. This is us in the future when there's nuclear war, and this is the skin that's to protect you. That's what this is. That's a whole nother conversation. But they came down and they pray to these people, and then they get certain powers. Even Moses was talking, like, guys, like, think about it. Is it possible that all the manipulation that humans have done over this book just to be able to control things, change things, manipulate things? They've done it. They've taken books out. They've put books in, like, they've done it. Squash all that. We know. We see statues. History doesn't lie. We know that each civilization was praying to some kind of well-being god that was here from out of this world. We know that because they all talk about it. They write it. They sketched it into the stones. It's in all the books. We know that they say they came from the sky. And we know that they had special powers. And we know that there is one God if you believe in God, and he creates all. So is it possible that all of this is true, including Jesus came down as his son in human form, but also an alien or extraterrestrial, a seed, a soul, an angel of God? Is that possible? That's the question. Is it possible that what Dolores Cannon says is correct? That we are all God's people, but we all were the angels, the aliens, the extraterrestrials came down and planted the seeds. And they have come down to check on us throughout time into different civilizations in some kind of form that has been worshipped. How is that not possible, guys? How is that not possible? People could just stick their head in the sand and say, and I had this conversation with my mom, and my mom, I love my mom, and she's probably going to kick my ass for this, but she has been all over the map on religion. She's been Buddhist. She's been Jewish. She's been Christian. She's now this other crazy Christian stuff. I don't even know what it's called. My sister's the same thing, where they don't celebrate birthdays and Christmas because it's pagan. And they're just, I'm not here to judge. They have their version. I have mine. It's fine. I love them. It's fine. Now, here's my issue. They're one extreme, maybe I'm another extreme. But my mom made a comment to me on my birthday dinner. She didn't say it intentfully to be rude. And she didn't say it consciously. It came out subconsciously. But she made a comment somewhat like, if you don't do exactly what the Bible says or the way I do things, you're going to go to hell. Kind of what she said. And I said, hold on. We're all at dinner at Melting Pot. Time out. My wife saw my eyes change. My eyes changed means it's about to be an issue. I'm like, hold on. My dad's like, no, that's cool. I got this. And I'm not going to be rude to my mom. I love my mom. It's my mom. I said, Mom, you're trying to tell me that if I don't do what you do, I'm going to go to hell. I mean, I've baptized my kids. I'm going to go to hell. Well, I mean, if you don't do what the Bible says, hold on. But that Bible's been manipulated by 500,000 freaking people over 2,000 years, like many times. Like the structure of the Bible, the main purpose of the Bible, the meaning of the Bible, the main words in the Bible, the main... I get. I love, I support, I believe in God. I pray to Jesus. I get it. I'm all in. But if I don't believe what you believe, that doesn't mean I'm going to go to hell. What kind of God would that be? If you're going to judge me and sit on your glass house and throw stones at me, I'm not talking about mom, I'm talking about anybody, and you're a big Christian, talking about Aunt Kay. How about Liz's Aunt Kay, right? Or her dad, her piece of shit dad, Ron, stands on his fucking glass house, throws the stones at everybody, okay? Wants to judge everybody and say, oh, you're not a real Christian. That's a motherfucker ain't Christian. They have their own problems, their own. But you're judging. How can you judge people and you think you're going to heaven? I don't believe it works that way. My eyes did go black. How did you know? My eyes go black. How did you know? This person just said your eyes go black. Yes, they go black, which means irritation just hit. So, long story short, I believe in aliens. And I believe aliens don't look like this. Although for fun, they look like this. But I believe aliens are among us. Far and few between. And I believe they came down over time in civilizations and have been some kind of iconic figure representing God, bringing powers, and being prayed to by different civilizations. Now, that's what I believe. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It means what I believe. I don't do drugs. So this is just from listening to Dolores Cannon and having my own, because to me, this seems more logical than everything else. So everybody's different. Now, I will say this. Thank you. I know Dolores behind me. Thank you, Tish. I will say that, and we talked about anxiety. We talked about depression. We talked about loyalty. We talked about friendship. We talked about a bunch of stuff today. But I will say, when it comes to your belief, you're allowed to believe in whatever you want to believe in, and nobody should judge you. Thank you for listening to the podcast, my daughter. Nobody should judge you for what you believe in. Okay, that's wrong. And that is your right to have those feelings. Like, some people don't believe in God. Does that mean I dislike them or hate them? No, I don't. They're allowed to believe in whatever they want to believe in. They have to answer for that. As do you, as do I. That's how it works. I hope everybody has a great, great beginning of the year. You're out crushing it. I hope that you have major success. I hope you're checking out the podcast, Unleashed Podcast. It's been banging. Got some episodes out there with most of the family. I've been putting some clips out there, some funny clips, some serious clips. It's all good. And then we have got our Bam Fam show coming out sometime at the end of January, beginning of February. We do have a premiere party in Boca on January 19th to show the first episode to some VIP guests. So super excited about that. Go out and crush it. I'm glad I get in here and do a podcast. It's been a few weeks since I did a solo one. So I want to get in here and talk about things that are on my mind. But hey, go out, crush it. Believe in aliens. Believe in God. Believe in whatever you want to believe in. Go out and make a great effort. Go out and take things to the next level. Don't be scared to take chances. Make sure you know who's loyal to you. Make sure you call and you give effort to those friends, those people you love, so you're not just one-sided. Make sure you're putting in the effort, showing comfort, showing empathy and sympathy. I know I'm working on that. You should work on that as well. Also, make sure that you're tough and strong. You're not in toxic relationships. You're not wasting your time in toxic situations. And make sure that you're betting on yourself and you're doing the things you need to do to succeed, so you quit sitting around finding excuses, because tomorrow's not promised. It's a gift. Go out and crush it. Bam!